Praise the Lord. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, and this is Apostle Paul, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The Apostle Paul has this heartfelt desire to know Jesus and to know the resurrection, the power of the resurrection. We said last week that to become intimately acquainted or to know the resurrection would influence our minds. It would influence our thinking. And it would raise our thinking above the world's thinking. Amen. It's amazingly simple. And I say this to you all the time. Resurrection is what makes dead things live. Makes dead things live. Amen. Makes dead things alive. So, in truth, we're here today because that is the thing we all believe. We're here because of a resurrected Christ. We're here because of a resurrected Jesus. If you don't believe in a resurrected Jesus, that's an interesting thing. I don't know why you would even want to go to church if he just died and never came back. Yeah, praise the Lord. So, you know, and as we become more acquainted with him, more intimately acquainted with the resurrection, then we know the power of it. We come to know not only that we have this assurance of heaven, but also that life on earth, there are things that are possible because of that resurrection. Because that impossibility was broken through. Okay? It was broken through. Amen. So, we began to get our thinking that the resurrection life can overcome all levels of death, okay? All levels, from the actual death of your body to the death of a dream. Resurrection is certainly overcoming power, right? We sing it like that. He overcame. Amen? Overcoming. In fact, the Bible says in 1 John 5:5, actually says, who is it that overcomes the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, so it said whoever believes, right? Who is it that overcomes the world? It's he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, I believe. Do you believe? So I'm an overcomer. See, I'm already an overcomer. It's not even by my behavior. I'm working from an overcomer stance. I'm already in the overcoming position, and I can move forward in that. So we see that it's obvious then, if we're talking about that we have to have faith in the resurrection. We have to have faith in the overcoming power. The Apostle Paul talks about resurrection from the dead in 1 Corinthians 15:13. I'll read it to you. It says, for if there is no such thing as a resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has been raised, then all of our preaching has been for nothing, and your faith is useless. Now, so not going to do any good, right? So he goes on to say, but there is a resurrection from the dead. And he's Jesus was resurrected, and so we will be resurrected as well. See, there were people there in Corinth that were saying that Christ was raised from the dead, but we won't be. That's what they were teaching then. Some of them were coming out with that. And he was just telling them that. He said, look, guys, if mankind cannot be raised from the dead, then Jesus couldn't have been raised from the dead, because he came as a man. He was a man raised from the dead. Amen. And it goes on to talk about how we would be raised from the dead. And in verse 43 of that chapter 15, he says, the body is sown in decay, but will be raised in immortality. It is sown in humiliation, but it will be raised in glorification. There's your glorified body. There's your glorified body that we all talk about, that maybe you never had a scripture for right there. You're going to have a glorified body one day. If you go by the grave before the rapture of the church, then your spirit is going to go to heaven. But one day, your spirit and body are going to meet again, and that will be the resurrection of the dead. But your body will be like Jesus's body. Flesh and bone, but it'll be glorified, okay? So, praise the Lord. That's a good thing. But you're not going to wait in the grave. You will be, to be what? Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. So, now, future resurrection will be glorious for us. But what about the resurrection right now? What about resurrection power? Corruptible things try to come in and bring darkness and death. But we can override thoughts and situations and fears and failures with our faith in the power of the resurrection. Walk with me. Victory swallows up death. Listen to 1 Corinthians, we're still in 15, here's 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Do we have it up there? Okay, let's look at it real closely. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, the Greek word for mortal is liable to die. That's what it means, liable to die. The Greek word for immortality is deathlessness. The Greek word for corruptible is decayed. The Greek word for incorruption is unending existence. So listen to this. When the liable to die puts on deathlessness and the decayed puts on an unending existence, death is swallowed up by victory. So, church, demise is swallowed up by success. That's what that scripture is saying. I'm going to say it to you again. When the liable to die puts on deathlessness and the decayed puts on unending existence, death is swallowed up by victory. Demise is swallowed up by success. Those are my words that I'm using. Now, do you recall this verse? Deuteronomy 30:19. Can anybody, you recall it? I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed may live. Okay? So the choice is life or death, blessing or cursing, right? Okay. Spirits live forever. Men are made in the image of God. We are a spirit. We live in this body. We live in this house, this tent. We have a soul, mind, will, emotions, so on and so on. Okay. There is death to the body, yes, but the spirit will go on to what it has set its faith in. Or your faith in. Okay? Am I right?
Yeah.
People that don't believe in Jesus are not just going to die.
Yeah.
Their spirit will still be alive. Their body will die, and they will, according to the scripture, they're going to go, in English, it's a place called hell. Mm-hmm. Some people don't believe in that. I see it in the scripture.
Yep. Right.
And so, it's called Hades in original. It's a dark, obscure place where there is pain and torment. Now, if you're thinking of a dark dungeon where the fire's burning everywhere and the devil's standing there with a pitchfork, you probably had the wrong idea. It's more like one of those bad city council meetings where everybody's fighting and turning in on each other. You know what I'm trying to say? And there's chaos. It's kind of like some of the things we've seen where they were burning buildings and stuff, you know, all of the wrong type of protesting. It's more of that feel. It's like one of the guys that was in the Antifa, you know, that seems like they're fighting for a cause, but then once we had the new president, then he just said, well, I hate him. I've just been doing it for the money.
Yeah.
See, hell turning on itself here, they just really didn't care. You see what I'm saying? They had their own reason for doing it. So, and it's just turmoil and chaos and a bad place to be. Okay. So, if you'll look at the rich man and Lazarus, Jesus said it was a certain man. So you can take what you want to from that. Some people say the commentaries go either way, but hell is real. And I have to go with what the word says. I wanted to put that there for you because I also want to tell you, though hell is there and you're not going, there is a death cycle. And the death cycle started when Adam and Eve fell. They sinned. And so the death cycle started then. So therefore you have to choose life or death. Right? So what I'm saying is you can live in hell on earth. Or you can have heaven on earth. And I've heard people say this too. Yeah, heaven doesn't come to earth. Well, there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about days of heaven on earth. Heaven's in you right now, according to Hebrews 10. There's some heavenly substance in you right now. So here now we can live in the death cycle or the life cycle. So it's your choice. You can live in pain and torment every day. You can live in drama every day. Or you can be free. It's going to be your choice. Mostly, this is self-imposed. Mostly. And you're like, well, I don't know about that. Because, you know, people have really deeply hurt people. And it ruined their lives. Oh, well, whose choice was that? Are you going to let them ruin your life? Are you going to forgive and move on? Because you don't want to let someone ruin your life. So you have a choice. You can resurrect from the death cycle and you can live life more abundant. So the word said choose life. Choose it. Choose. It's a choice. Now, there are fig trees along the path of life. And you think they're going to provide for you the ripe fruit, but they don't. Jesus encountered Pharisees. Okay? Now, he was dealing with them. Remember when he was walking back and forth from Jerusalem to Bethany? He was out staying in Bethany, and he'd walk in. He was looking around. He didn't even say anything. There was a day he preached all day, but he didn't. There was things he didn't do that day, but he's looking. And so one day when they're walking there, whichever day that was, he sees this fig tree, and this is where demise gets swallowed up by success. Because this fig tree has leaves on it, but no fruit. He goes over to get some fruit. There's no fruit on it. And so this fig tree, he's showing them even more than just what you see there. He's saying the fig tree's like the Pharisee. Are you with me? And so they're fakes. There are people who have pretty leaves, but they don't have any fruit. There are also people who have pretty leaves and have some bad fruit. That's just the truth, church. They don't. It's the fruit that they produce is not good because it's coming from what? The root. So they have explanations, but they have no solutions. Okay? That's what religion does. It's what the law does. It's what legalism. I'm talking about legalism. Legalism will tell you what's wrong with you, but it can't help you. The law couldn't help you not do that. But grace. The Holy Spirit can point out things and then help you move right through things. When the leaven of the Pharisees tried to give their explanations and no solutions, he had a word for a fig tree which had leaves and no fruit. He was not willing to let the leaven of the Pharisees spread. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Not willing to let the leaven of the Pharisees spread. Now, Mark 11:14 says Jesus answered it. He answered the tree. The fig tree's talking. Mm-hmm. It's saying something. Yeah. people's leaves are saying something.
Yep.
People's fruit is saying something.
Yeah.
It's talking.
Yeah, that's good.
Walk with me. You'll get it here. So Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Now, he cursed it and it died at where? The root. It dies at the root. When people hurt you or harm you, the fruit is coming from the root. Deal with the root and you'll change the fruit. Start praying for the root. Start dealing with you. If you have an opportunity, you deal with the root. Sometimes it'll just have to be your prayer. And then let's move that into your zone. You deal with the root in you. Why did what they did hurt me so much? Why did what they say? What made me want to take a swing at them? Just saying that. What made me be jealous? What made me feel rejected? What? And then deal with that root in you. Okay. That way you'll have good fruit. Yeah, you just can't go around blaming everybody else for everything. People can't make you do anything. It's your choice. Now, so the most powerful way to deal with a root system is by giving a faith-filled declaration that is launched from your spirit. Okay? That's what Jesus did in Mark 11, right? No man eat fruit of thee. He's talking to it. He's launching something. Okay? And so they're amazed about it. So what does he say? He says, have the faith of God. For if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed to be cast into the sea, it'll obey you. What are you going to say? A faith-filled authoritative command. Yeah. Not just an echo. Well, pastor used this scripture. No, it's something that pastor may have said. It got down in your spirit and then you said it. Or one of your preachers that you listen to ministries on TV, you heard them, you went, that's so good. And it was a rhema to you, and then you used it and you said it and it had some power to it. And you knew it was God using, you know. But Jesus was always asking the Father what to say. I guarantee you, the Holy Spirit told Jesus right there exactly what to say to the tree. And then he told Jesus exactly what to say to Peter and the guys. And that is, I'm telling you guys, all things are possible. You can put a mountain in the sea if you use authoritative words. What's the root problem in one of your loved ones who is ill? Might want to find out so you can speak to the root.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, anyway, that was free. Now, so don't allow darkness troubling someone else to trouble you. Move on through this thing. Now, that's what the resurrection power can do. When Jesus spoke those words authoritatively, it was pushed by power. He had power in his words. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all still here?
Yeah.
That's what resurrection power can do. You don't have to live subject to their darkness. Jesus had faith in the power that was in him. That's why we've been taught the power of the name of Jesus. It's even in his name. Jesus is the power. Listen, church, he is the resurrection. He is the resurrection, okay? But when the mountain goes into the sea, what do we have? What do we have there? Demise is swallowed up by success. When all of a sudden you can't see that situation anymore and it's gone, success. Swallowed it up. Didn't have to push it out. Didn't have to put it in a corner. Didn't have to keep fighting it. It was just thrown into the sea and done away with. I like that. Now remember, we're letting the resurrection have that proper place in our thinking, in our minds, okay? So this is not just a power we use when we're going to get our bodies out of the grave. We have resurrection power, and it's available 24/7. So when the corruptible tries to manifest, put on the incorruptible. It is yours by grace. When mortality tries to set in, put on immortality, and death will be swallowed up by victory. Swallowed up by victory. Demise is swallowed up by success. Now, this is where I wanted to get to. I love this. Swallowed, in the word in the Greek, is katapothe. Okay? And it means to drink down and then absorb. It's like mountain in the sea. It's gone. Drink down and absorb. Okay? It means to overwhelm and destroy. It's like this whirlpool that absorbs all that comes near and then abolishes it. I just have to tell you, and I don't mean to be crass or anything, but everybody has something in their house that does this, and it's in their bathroom. It takes care of everything that goes down, okay? It's absorbed and gone. And there's other ways to look at it. People will say, I need to take this pill, but I'll eat some food because it'll absorb it. And or yeah. Vitamin C, when it's encased in a certain enzyme, gets in your body better. You understand what I'm saying. But this victory will literally reach out and swallow what's been trying to get you down. And totally do away with it. Yes. I like that. To know the power of the resurrection. To know it. To know and to understand the proper influence in our minds. You have that power. Death is swallowed up by victory. That's the power. Connect it. That's the power of the resurrection. The resurrection power will reach out like that bug-eating plant and grab it, and it's gone. Yeah, everybody's seen that on one of those movies, that whatever people watch, you know. Whatever you could think of. Some people, they reach out to that ribeye, and it's gone, whatever it is. But it's gone. It's gone. So whatever's troubling you can be swallowed up. Death can be swallowed up. Debt can be swallowed up. Sickness is swallowed up. Disease is swallowed up. Fear is swallowed up. It can all be swallowed up. In Romans, we're told to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, right? Well, what powerful transformation, what more powerful than the resurrection power? That's the strongest there is. Conform, it says be conformed is on the outside, isn't it? Y'all understand that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Transformed, it said, for us to be. It didn't say be conformed, because if you're conformed, you're just into religion. Yeah. Well, we'll stop doing this and stop doing that and stop doing this and stop doing that. That doesn't help. To be transformed changes your nature, and then you're able to do what you need to do. But you have to be transformed. You can't just have somebody pound you with rules.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. You have to get some integrity, and then you'll want to do it. Right. It's a root. There's a root of integrity. Some people have no root of integrity. They just do whatever surface. But you can have it, and the resurrection power is in there. It's in it. Amen. So, our spirits have already been resurrected. We just release that power to the outside world, by knowing and becoming intimately acquainted with Him and His resurrection. It's already there. It's already in us. Now, I said that, and I know you know that, but I said that to bring you to this place. The reason the angels could shut the mouths of the lion in the den with Daniel is because Daniel was the superior lion. Okay? He had power. Okay? Why did the rod / snake that Moses had eat up all of Pharaoh's magician snakes? Because he was superior. Death was swallowed up by victory. Demise swallowed up by success. And just a little help on that if you want to know why snakes. Why did they have to use snakes there? Because Wedget, the early goddess of Egypt, ruled the land in their thinking. And so she was a snake. Remember the Pharaoh's hats and had the snake sticking out like this? So God was saying, excuse me, but I'm the superior God. And so his snake ate up all the other snake, and then Moses would pick it up and it's a rod again. But see, there's purpose for this. Sometimes we don't dig in far enough to see. But God's trying to show that he's superior. And he's trying to show that he's superior through you.
Amen.
Daniel, Moses, amen. Praise the Lord. So, Moses' snake ate their snake, and they got the message. There's a bigger God on the scene. So there's a bigger God than that ugly root and that bad fruit. Okay. Hey, just another side note here, just to help you if you want to meditate a little further along here. God gave Moses signs before he confronted Pharaoh. Do you remember what they are? One thing was he said, he took that rod, he said, put that rod down, and he turned it into a snake. That was one. Number two was he said, put your hand in your coat, and it came out and it was leprous. Remember that? And then number three, he said, take a cup of river water and throw it out on the ground and it'll turn to blood. Those were the things that he said. Now, the snake, like I said, showed Pharaoh, I want to say this right because I want you to get more of a message here. I want to pull it over. It showed Pharaoh, or let's say those who think they're in charge, that he was the superior ruler. Did that just help you? Because Wedget, she was control of the politics of the land type person, you know. The whole thing. The God of. Okay? Now, the leprosy represents a punishment of pride. Oh, somebody's light just went on right there. Oh, put the two together. Mm-hmm. And the water to the blood on land shows that God is not just in charge of all the political realms or anything like that, but he, in the long run, you understand, but he's in charge of the Eretz. He's in charge of the land and the water that we actually live on. Yeah. He's in charge. Mm-hmm. Not the global warming.
No.
Or the anything this way or the anything that way. God owns the earth, and he's leased it out to man. Okay, but he's in charge. So when Moses goes to Pharaoh, he's saying, first of all, there's a bigger God than you are. Second of all, this pride will be judged. And third of all, just the property that you're on belongs to God anyway. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Because something's coming to the United States of America, and it's the superior God's going to rule. I'm telling you, just had to get all of Pharaoh and Wedgets and everybody out there, whoever needed to get out there exposed, but it's coming. You know what a game changer is? Y'all know what a game changer is? I'm going to read you the definition. It is a newly introduced element or factor that changes an existing situation or activity in a significant way. Okay? It is a newly introduced element or factor that changes an existing situation or activity in a significant way. It's a game changer. The resurrection was a game changer. Oh, he's dead and it's over. Now, there's nothing left to do. Up from the grave he arose. Game changer. So we live in that finished work. We live in that game changer. So for those who've lost hope, or those who have put their dreams on the shelf, for those who have disqualified themselves, the resurrection changes everything. Everything. We've encountered a risen Savior. Church, the resurrection of Jesus Christ changed everything. It transformed the delusional, fearful band of guys there into a mighty army who went out and won people to Jesus, spread the gospel around the world. It proclaimed that our great enemy, death, has already been defeated. It proved that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Because of the resurrection, we don't have to live in fear. Amen. Glory to God. Our life goals can be changed forever. We have a great calling and we can proclaim the gospel. And we have the power to do that, the power to win when we do that to this lost and dying world. And they need us. Yeah. Amen. The resurrection produced a new race of people, a race born of heaven, not of earth. 2 Corinthians 5:17, so that if anyone is in Christ, That one is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a game changer. So you know what I say, church? Game on. Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for resurrection power. We thank you for blessing us today. We thank you, Lord, for what you did, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for raising Jesus from the dead. Thank you that he triumphed over hell and all of its forces. Thank you that right now resurrection power can come speeding out of our mouths and transform things. Throw mountains into seas. Stop things at the root. Make things alive. Swallow up death. Swallow up demise. And it will not be seen again. Thank you for that, Lord. For those of you suffering, I'm going to give you a rhema word, what you can say over something you're suffering in your body or around you. Affliction shall not arise a second time. Be healed right now, and that affliction will not arise again. Now, that's what happens when death is swallowed up. That's what happens when katapothe takes effect. It's swallowed up, and it can't be seen again. No, you're not going to hurt me again. Because that's swallowed up and gone. I don't care if they're yakety-yakking out there. Yakety-yakety. No. I'm not taking your stuff. Amen. Amen. No, I'm not going to fail. Nope. I'm going to win.
That's right.
No, this will be resolved.
Yes.
Well, I just don't know how long that I'm going to have to. I'll just have to suffer through this. Stop it. There are seasons when you battle, but most of all, it's because we're not getting into the right place fast enough. Yeah. Because they did not have to stay in the wilderness all that time. They could have moved on into the promised land. They could have. What is it, about 11-day crossing, 2-week crossing? But they did not want to believe. They didn't want to enter into that restful place. They couldn't believe that the promised land enemy could be swallowed up when they got there. The enemy was already aware of them, and they were already afraid. They were already afraid. When Jericho came down, the word went out before Jericho came down. If you go read the scriptures, those people were already shaking in their boots.
Yep.
Or sandals, whatever they wore then.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. We win. We just need to put COVID in the sea. Well, it could start with you and me.
Yeah.
It could start by the right words instead of mouthing around about it all until we're just causing it to move on and on and on and on and on because we're giving it words. We don't want to give it life. We want to put it in the sea.
Yeah.
Well, how in the world do you think this group of this many people could do that when the whole world suffered it? Well, let's see. There's about 12 that turned the world upside down. There's one man who was raised from the dead who took care of it all. If somebody doesn't start it, right? If somebody doesn't do it, who's going to do it? And I can tell you this, we're not alone. There are millions of people that are not whining about it. They're speaking to the mountain. And most of those people are going around unaffected. They're not running scared. They're unaffected. Thank you, Jesus.